was a very daunting situation, and we decided to leave. We gave up and we decided to leave. And we moved away for 2 years, and then after 2 years, we had a rest for the 2 years. God would speak to us and say, you must go back, because that is your area of jurisdiction. You must go back. And against all odds and against feelings of not wanting to go back, we did go back. And as soon as we went back, the first dream I had was that I still have the keys to this estate. But there was no money to buy the estate. There was no way we could buy the estate because it now belonged to somebody else. And there's no way you could actually, it was impossible. But I held the dream in my heart for a long time and hoped that one day God would show me exactly what this meant. Now, as a result of those tragedies, God was busy dealing with my own heart. And there was a lot of exposure. There was a lot of eliciting of fears that I had in my heart. Fears of snakes and fears of burglars and fears of death and fears of the future and fears of lack. We lost our money. We lost our child in an accident. And the place was infested with snakes. We had a major burglary. My husband was stabbed badly in the burglary. We had all of these things happen, and the community said, oosh, they've got to have done something wrong to have experienced all of these curses upon their lives. So what did they do? But in the meantime, all we knew was that God was working all things out for His good, according to His purpose in our lives, to help us understand more clearly. My family also felt that they think I went a little bit too far with the issues of God, and it involved the children, and involved everybody to get involved in this major battle that we were having. However, in the interim, I had a supernatural experience one day on the same property, in that lounge all alone, in my bedroom all alone, and in that experience, I felt I left my body, and I was very scared because it was a very real experience. And then I saw a banner in the heavens, and this was the statement written on the banner, which I never forgot. It said, blessed are those who are in the kingdom, but woe to those without. And I got a fright. And I was crying. I want to go back. I want to go back. I'm scared. But then somebody started to speak to me. It was very real. Somebody was talking to me in a language I didn't understand. And it felt as if it went on for hours. I could hear this language, but I don't know what it is all about. And when I got back, I looked around to see who was in the room, and there was nobody there, not even my husband. And so I didn't understand what this meant, but in the days to follow, I gave up all ministry and decided to start looking at the Word of the Kingdom. I spent 3 years with the Word of the Kingdom, gave up everything, studied it, start to look at it. And at the end of 3 years, God instructed me to write a manual. And I wrote the manual. It's never been published or anything like that, but I've written the manual on discover the kingdom within you. And then I started training people in our own church. And I ran schools. For the next 2 or 3 years, I was the only teacher of the school, and I would run various schools. Until today, we have 7 schools running and 15 teachers who are now instructing everybody in the church and without in their community how to discover the kingdom from within you. To cut a long story short, last year I said to the church, at the beginning of last year, I said, the time has come now to manifest that which you have established within you. It has to be manifested on the outside. If we do not do that, it means all we have done is receive the kingdom word for ourselves. So it's time to manifest. And within the year, God gave us back that property. Against all odds, 4.2 million, we didn't take a cent from the bank, He gave it back to us. The difference from the time that we were there to now, it was then an estate built on a garden of 8,000 and about 70 square meters. It now has one of the biggest halls in the town on the property. Now you understand the transition from the garden into the city. And you understand the whole issue of the city having a town hall, or a city having a nucleus, which is the church, but it is a city for the community. So we have just moved in, and last year I started training them now in how to manifest the kingdom. In other words, how to touch the community in subtle ways, but with skilled wisdom and understanding, as we heard this morning, in ways by which we can change the thinking of people around us. Now, I do know that in the past, what we would do is we would want everybody to convert. And all we would do would be preach the gospel to them. And people kept away from us because that's not what they wanted. That is a personal experience, and right now there's an outworking of how we are touching or how we're about to touch our community in a very special way. Now, when we came back to this property 15 years later and bought it, this property is now seeing at least 1,000 people entering that property every month because they are using the conference hall. And suddenly, they are now faced with us as a church because they're going to be using our hall. And what do we do to touch them? So it is a very real issue. And I felt that there's a need for me to tell you that this is what God wants of us. I believe that these are strategic times. I believe that we're living in a time that is very critical. I also believe that ISIS is manifesting anger and wrath that is coming from hell, from the devil right now. Kill anybody so that we can at least get rid of those that are about to move into rulership and kingship. Like in the days of Moses, just kill every child under two. In the days of Jesus, kill every child under two. So now you kill every Christian that you can find, hoping to eliminate those that are destined for kingdom rulership, for dominion, for legitimate authority, for authentication as sons, sons of the kingdom, sons who walk with the same life that the Father has given to us. As the Father has life, so he's given the Son to have life in himself. As the Father raises the dead, so he's given the Son to have power to raise the dead. So we need to understand that as much as all of these things are happening out there, there is something happening in the spirit that the enemy knows about and is very furious and angry. We all know that ISIS is not coincidental. The name is not coincidental because the name means to wear a crown. That's what it simply means. So it might mean Iraq and Syria, but really speaking, it is not that. ISIS really means to wear the crown. So who wears the crown in this season? Now, my belief firmly is, even though we're talking about evangelism, we need to understand our own jurisdictional power. We need to understand the dominion God has placed upon our, not just our shoulders, but upon our heads. So it is what I want to talk about right now. Concerning the kingdom, I want to just give us some ideas of what I think the shift is from the church into the kingdom. Now, the church is not eliminated once you start understanding the kingdom, but the church becomes a nucleus of the kingdom. The church is center to the kingdom. The church is truly the life of this kingdom. However, the kingdom is for the whole earth. Everything that was ever created, from the dogs to the cats, to the trees, to the sea, to the plants, to every human being. The kingdom is about reconciling everything on the earth unto God. The kingdom is about Ephesians 1:10, where God has planned for the maturity of the ages and the consummation of all times to head all things up that are in the heavens and on the earth and bring them together under the power of Christ. So we have to understand that everything in the heavens and on the earth must become one. Now that also is interesting for me because the whole issue of illness, sickness and disease has hit the church very powerfully recently. And we're going to have to understand how to walk with authority in that regard. And I want to share some things in that regard as well. So first of all, I'm totally, thoroughly convinced that the time has come to manifest this kingdom of God in a very final bid to win the whole earth. But if everybody does their portion in their area, it's the only way we can get it done. It is no more a one-man show where you can stand up and declare over the whole earth. Everyone needs to take their position and place, and we're a corporate body that is going to bring this victory finally for the whole earth. Now, you know, at one stage when I looked at people who were not Christian, I thought, well, they just don't belong to God, you know. I mean, they're busy doing other activities, but what I didn't realize, they do belong to God. Everyone belongs to God. He's the spirit of all flesh. Doesn't matter what faith they belong to, but he's the spirit of all flesh. We have to understand that. Every single thing on the face of this earth belongs to God. Okay. The second thing is that God's authority must supersede every other authority. That means there cannot be an authority, and we heard recently Joseph Taylor says, he's not just the King of Kings, he's also the counselor of all counselors, he's also the president of all presidents. Every president has got to be subject to God. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was called to sit at the right hand of the Father until every enemy was made his footstool. And then the Bible says, and then he hands over the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15:24-20, he hands over the kingdom to the Father so that the Father may be all in all. So the Lord Jesus Christ came for a purpose, and that purpose was to raise us up as co-heirs with him. That position as a right-hand man of God is our position. But the moment that happens, he then hands over to the Father, and the Father is all in all. So who is he really? I leave that for you to discover. Who is he really? Was he not God in the flesh that came as a son in order to take his position again when we are in our place and position? Now, the difference between church and kingdom, there has to be a difference. Because we hear of Peter saying that if you walk with diligence and you base upon diligence truth, and upon truth knowledge, and upon knowledge long-suffering, upon long-suffering patience, and upon patience godliness, and upon godliness brotherly kindness, and so on. And then he says, you do well, my brothers, 2 Peter 1:10, you do well if you can give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So you see, before we can touch anyone, we have got to make our calling and election sure. If we are doubting our call at all, we will never be able to reach this next level. Because like I said earlier, evangelism techniques and modes have shifted completely from what it was in the old season. It is totally different, and we're going to look at some points concerning that. You do well if you give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we have to now enter the kingdom when we're already Christian? Is there another level of war? Revelation 22:14 says. It says, blessed are those who have washed their garments and made their garments clean. Blessed are those who honor and obey the word of God. It says, to them will be given the right to the tree of life. So this is knowledge and wisdom that is alive, living. He says, they shall now enter via the gates into the city. So there's another walk for us now, where we're going to have to shift from just being or knowing ourselves as a church to go via the gates into the city, because the city is really the kingdom. City is really the kingdom. And so we ask ourselves then, why the shift? There's necessity for the shift. Perhaps by now we understand that the kingdom of God is not a place in heaven. We thought at one stage, so did I. One day, and I said this, one day I'm happy, I'm saved. When I die, I'll go to heaven. Because I thought, when I die, I'll go to the kingdom of heaven. Because I thought that the kingdom was in heaven. Yes, as it is in heaven, so let it be on the earth. But I thought the kingdom was only in heaven. Then there was the opinion that the kingdom of God is not for us. There was an opinion at one time, it's not for us, it's not for now. We are crazy to think that we should be walking with this kind of dominion of the earth. Okay? But I want to show us today how we need to rise up into a place. And I think, I'm convinced that if we rise up into this position and place of understanding just who we are on the earth, that ISIS will have to bow. They'll have to bow. I know we are praying, and I know we're praying for the Christians, but it is a sign for us that the time for headship has come. The time for rulership has come. Okay, Everything, both in the seen and the unseen, must be brought and subjected under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is how I see the kingdom. I see it as the heavens finally covering the earth. I see it as a husband finally covering his wife. I see it as a spirit finally covering the body, the flesh. I see it as the spiritual dimension finally covering the physical dimension. It is why I'm saying that now, almost as if all hell has broken loose to attack this next dimension that we're about to see, where if the spirit covers the body, it's time for the body to be redeemed. Because all nourishment and all blessings must flow from the head into the body. Let me explain something else. The Bible says in Ephesians that God has given us grace gifts, the fivefold grace gifts, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, until we all come into the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amplified says, nothing short of the complete measure and essence, personality of who Christ really is. As we go on in that scripture around verse 14, it says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine, with the evil slate of men, and so on. Be careful with the doctrine. Then it goes on to say, so that we might grow up into all things, which is the head. So where is the head right now? He's in the body. He fulfills all things in the body. Always take the example, we must do gardening to understand some stuff. You never get a cabbage head falling from the heaven into the plant. It is in the seed. You never get a cauliflower head falling from the heavens. Yet we wait for the head to come from the top and join the body. The head simply shifts into position from within the body. So can you see what is happening right now? There's a people that are emerging according to Ephesians 3. If you go through Ephesians 3, he says that we might understand the measure of God. And the only way we can understand this measure is if you can know how high, how deep, how long, and how wide the love of God is. I'm going to say, if we don't have love for the perishing out there, and we're quite satisfied with the fact that we're saved, there's no way this next level is going to hit us. No way. We wouldn't be able in this dimension. Now, you know, when I see people and I see them suffering, it has become a burden on my part. There was a stage when I said, well, you know, they don't want to give their lives to the Lord, so what? But now I realize I'm representative of them also. If I can win this race on behalf of everyone I carry within my bosom, including those that have left the earth, including my family who never wanted to believe in God, but God left me alone in my family. Tragically, all left. All died tragically. I was the only one left. And sometimes I ask the Lord, why did you leave me? He says, for a purpose. Then I said, but why did you take them the way you did? And God would say, don't worry about them. That's not your business. But when you carry them within your bosom, and if you can finish this race, then I will show you how you're a representation of the rest. This is why it is so important that before we step out into the next level of evangelism of our communities, we have got to understand who we are, and we've got to understand. You know, when we move into this premises, now we've got to get special consent, and now we've got to get municipal amafa and all kinds of permission and so on. Do you know there are hundreds of ways by which you can do this and get it at next to nothing? You can save money, but we have chosen to walk the hard route. We will not, I said to the team, we will not in this moment compromise anything. We've lost it. God has brought us so far. This is a time we're about to manifest the kingdom. We have one hitch till 9 o'clock. I only sat last night with the word after 9.
because I'm busy talking to these people on how to sort this matter out. I don't know building, but I have wisdom. I don't know how to measure a roof. I don't know what is needed for the roof. But what I know is I know how to walk righteously. And if you know how to walk righteously, it can be translated into any situation, because God gives the wisdom to deal with any situation. And here with my husband being in hospital, he should be managing these things, but he can't. So I've had to do it. I've had to do it. And I said to them, we'll not bow our knee to anything that is wrong. Yes, it's going to cost us. She said, the lady said to me, cost you an arm and a leg. I said, I don't care what it cost, but we're going to do it right. Because what happens later on when we're about to manifest the kingdom, this thing in the foundation is going to stand up against us.
Oh, yes.
It will bite us. So the time has come where we've got to get it right within ourselves. So I'm saying to you that within the church, there's a company within whom God is growing up in all his fullness. Come back to Ephesians. Once you can understand how high, how long, how deep and how wide the love of God really is, which passes all human understanding, the Bible says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God himself. You may have, the Amplified says, the richest measure of the divine presence of God himself within you. So what is happening right now? God himself is emerging in all his fullness, in a company of people called a first fruit company on the earth, about to reveal headship on the earth. It is why ISIS is getting angry, because they suspect something is happening behind the scenes. It is why there's so many sicknesses coming up right now. The Bible says in Romans 8:19-23, it says, yes, we've all been travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Goes on to say, not only the creatures are travailing, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have the first fruits of the Spirit within us. But it doesn't stop there, because the first fruits of the Spirit must take us into the place of sonship, take us into the place of knowing the Father as he is, so are we. It must bring us into the completion. And so when that happens, the Bible says that there will be a redemption of the body as we are revealed and authenticated as God's sons. So it is not just the manifestation of the sons of God. It comes with the redemption of the body. So when their head is now manifested within a people on the earth, then sickness has to bow. Weakness has to bow. Every time I have a struggle with my knees, you know, and I can't bend the way I used to do, and I can't exercise with the little kids at home the way I used to do, I just say, your time is up. Soon I will see it happen. It has to happen. The Bible says Moses did not grow dim in his sight, neither did he grow weak in his body at all. Why do we accept it? Last week my little grandson Zion was not well. He couldn't breathe. He had a heavy chest. Yes, we prayed for him, but his mom rushed him to the hospital and I was there. And then they sent his mom and dad out and said, no, you must go out because we've got to deal with this child. And then they put a drip on, and then there were three people holding a little baby, 1 year and 8 months old. Three people are holding a little child. He kicked them. He hit them. When they held his hands and legs, he headed them. And eventually they said, we've never met a little baby this strong. But I felt ashamed when all this was over. I felt ashamed. I stepped up and I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I called the parents. I said, never leave your child. Never let them tell you the way this should be done. You never leave your child in the mercy of strangers and you walk out. You tell them, I'm sorry, I will be here with my child. I'm not walking out. And then I said to the mother, now you start to nebulize the child. You're a medical person. Why do you give it to somebody else to do it? And she never had to hold his hands, hold his legs. She simply did it herself and it worked. Wow. And then when he got home, he took his toys, his little doggies and all of that, and he was flinging them like this. He was hitting them, flinging them. It's because of what they did to him. Then I said to the parents, we've got to repent before an 18-month-old child and tell him we are sorry because we subjected him to something that we felt was right. The trouble, I'm giving you this example, the trouble with the church is we felt everybody else is an authority. Our voices don't carry. The time has come. Our voice must carry everywhere. We should tell that doctor, I'm sorry, I cannot leave my child alone. No, it cannot be a rule that I must leave my 18-month alone to your mercy. I will stay here and hold his hand. You can put the drip, but I'll stay here and hold his hand. But the day is coming when you need no drip. I'm convinced we're about to move into a place of the redemption of this body. And we must persist for that. Because when the head is in his position, he will nourish the whole body. Every part of the body will be healed. But you say, but this is only a first fruit. The first fruit is representative. Everybody else is going to be healed. Everybody, you know why some people are suffering right now and carrying sickness and disease upon them? It's because now when they have a pain in their body, they see the severity, they see the need for healing, they see the need for prayer, they see the need for others that are perishing out there. They have no medical aid, they have no doctors. We've got to stand on their behalf. But when it hits your own body, then you feel for them. But when it didn't hit your body, you didn't care about them because you didn't know exactly what that pain meant. So the time has come where we need now to shift quickly into our position. So the kingdom of God is the rule of God over every facet of life. I had to ask the Lord what to wear this morning. That was easy that I didn't need to iron because I had no time. Sometimes I have to ask the Lord, what do you think I should cook today? I have asked God to be involved in every facet of life. Every facet. We say God is not interested in the physical facet. We've discounted God just for the spiritual. Now you'll see what the kingdom is all about. The church says God is only involved in the spiritual dimension. But God is saying, if you can give me rule over the natural dimension, in how you eat, in how you dress, in what you're saying, in where you're going to, in what you're thinking, in what you're watching, in all of those areas, if I have jurisdiction, you've now brought every enemy under headship. Now we can take the outside world, because now we can address. You see, if we cannot, you know, Isaiah 60 says a thing like this, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So even though there's gross darkness and darkness upon the people on the earth, but he says, your light will shine brightly, and your glory, my glory, will be revealed in you. Then he says, kings shall come to you. They will come to the brightness of your rising, because you've arisen into your position. So they'll come to the brightness of your rising. And then he says, lift up your eyes and look. Like the seas, I will cause the Gentile nations to be converted unto you. There's another shift in this area. Another shift. That shift is, we used to go out and evangelize the ones and twos. Stand on the roads and give out tracts. I don't know, but I did all these things. And I'm sure you did it too. Knock on doors. When I lived in Benoni, we used to knock on doors. I even knocked on a Molana's door. And the lady said to me, my husband's a Molana. Excuse me. Don't come to share the word with us. And I said, it's fine. I won't share the word with you, but hi, you know. And these are things that happened. And we tried to touch the ones and twos. So desperate we were to preach the gospel to other people. So desperate. But this shift is taking us into a position where they must now come to you. And they will come. They will come. Revelation 21, 1-7. I'm just going to quickly read this. It is a very kingdom scripture. And I think if we can understand this, we are shifting into the city now, into a new understanding of just how we operate within the city, which is a kingdom. I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth. For the former sky and the former earth had passed away, died. Ezekiel said, God said, I'll give you a new spirit and I'll give you a new heart. So that's what this is referring to. A new spirit and a new heart. This is not talking about a natural heaven. Because where God's going to go to, many people think he's sitting in heaven. So where is he going to go to if he destroys the heaven? A new heaven is simply a new spirit. I'm giving you a new spirit, and I'm giving you a new heart. I'm taking away the old heart stone, I'm giving you a new heart. So this is a whole new dimension to a people, because a city is not a place. As much as we have this beautiful premises we've now bought, and we are going to operate in this premises to touch the community in a very big way, but it's not about the place more than it's about the people. The moment we bought that property, the first dream I had was we moved onto the property and we discovered there was a mysterious door and there was a loft above this property. And I said to everybody, did you know that there's a loft here? And they said, no. So we walked up the stairs, and when we got to the loft, we saw a whole lot of people cleaning up the place for us. So I said to them, I'm gonna look deeply into the word loft. Another word for heaven is actually loft. Now, God wants to cover something. The heavens want to cover something. But if the earth is not in an accurate measurement, it cannot be covered by the heavens. And that's the issue. We have a responsibility to provide the accurate measurement for the heavens to cover. And then, if you look at the word loft, you'll find in the Old Testament, both those little boys that were raised up from the dead were placed in a loft. In the New Testament, it was a loft, the upper room, where they experienced the Spirit. Remember that man that fell down, and then he was then raised by Paul. Was it Paul? He was raised up. He died, and he was raised up again. It was in a loft. God is reviving this whole concept of understanding how heaven must manifest from within us. To cover. The only way that's coming is if we are going to submit to the Spirit of God within us. All right, then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth. For the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished. There was no longer existed any sea. I don't want to talk about that, but I believe it has to do with us. It has to do with the joining of the soul and the spirit, where the soul gets enraptured. I think it's Acts 2, probably 17, 18. He says, you showed me the path of life. You will enrapture my soul, diffusing it with and in your presence. So the soul is like a woman who diffuses herself with the man, the spirit. This is why we've got to submit completely. That is why women, when you submit to your husbands and you look up to your husband, doesn't mean you're a doormat, but when you do it, you bring a great revelation. That's why Paul said this is a mystery. You bring a great revelation of what the soul must do to the spirit within us. How your soul submits to the spirit. You don't like doing something, but you'll do it because you know you have to submit. This is important. All right, and then I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. We always think descending out of heaven is the sky. From God, all arrayed like a bride, beautiful and adorned for a husband. I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words saying, see, the abode of God is within men, or is with men. He will live and camp. Pitch his tent among them. They shall be his people. He says men. He didn't say Christian. It says men. He wants to pitch his tent among men. And this is what is going to happen in the kingdom. He pitches his tent from within those that he's called out among men. So that he can be seen and experienced in every single activity. I'll give you a simple example. I went to Top Tots the other day with the other little grandson because it was grandparents' day. And then the teacher did some beautiful activities. But now I'll show you how Reformation has to take place. But she chose the very poem that is Jack and Jill. Now I will not, even as a teacher, I will not teach it. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown. My God, that's a sick, sick nursery rhyme. Actually, it's not time to break our crowns. It's time to show our crowns. So while I sat there, I said, no, that's not good. So I didn't. I said to my grandson, we're not saying it. We're not saying it. So we sat there and we didn't say anything. He's about 2 years old. We're not saying. Then I called my daughter-in-law. You see, I don't have jurisdiction to talk to her right now, the lady. But I'll use wisdom and talk to her through another source. I said, your child is here. I can't talk to her. I'm the grandparent. I'm just invited. Now, I'm writing this poem out again. You go and tell her this is a better poem. Because it is meaningful. It is safe. It is not dangerous. It is not the kind of poem that a little child should hear. And so she said, okay, I'll do it. So this is how Reformation has got to take place. Otherwise, we're going to sit back and take everything that the world is pouring out. And we say, oh, she's a teacher, I can't say anything. That is a doctor, I can't say anything. No, not anymore. People say to me, this cake is divine. I said, not really. Only God is divine. Oh, but they say, but I didn't understand what divine means. And I said, divine is from the word deity. It's divine, it's about God. How can a cake be God? And then they say, sorry, if we don't teach them. But the key is how we do it. I heard a mighty voice from the throne saying, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He's talking about men. He didn't talk about born again. He didn't talk about church. He's talking about God will wipe away every tear. In recent times, I've had people come to me, be it Hindu, Muslim, anyone, who comes to talk to me about how they lost their child. Can I talk? Can you tell me how you overcame? I've come to realize I don't want to throw Christianity on their faces. But I literally go and touch them and wipe their tears away from their eyes. And I say, God wants to wipe away your tears. When you touch them like that, they say, where did you get this from? Where did you get this from? Where did you get the ability to do this? Where did you get the ability to talk to me like this? How did you overcome? And when they do that, you show them the source of all life. And that source of all life is within you. Okay. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall be anguish, sorrow, and mourning any longer. Nor grief, nor pain anymore, and so on. He who is seated on the throne said, see, I make all things new. All right, let's just go further. When we look at the, I know our time is running out, so I'm going to have to go quick. When you look at the latter part, he says, kings bring their honor to the city. Kings bring their glory to the city. Now, we have to understand this is not a scripture just for the church. This is a scripture for the whole earth. I've come to realize every single ISIS people belong to Jesus. They belong to God. But they don't know it. Somewhere along the line, if they are in the wrong position, it means we are not in the correct position yet to command this. Because when you understand divinity, you'll have to understand the issue of divine decree. That you can declare and decree a thing, it must happen. But we've got to prepare first. All right. So we look at how the Israelites crossed over the Jordan. They did not encounter any kings in the wilderness. It was just between them and God. It was a preparation of where their hearts were tested. But the moment they came to their place of death, because the Jordan means descender, or it means a death to self, figuratively. And when they went across, they now had to dispossess to possess. But they dispossessed the land to possess, and they killed the people and took the land in many instances. But you and I are not dispossessing people of the land and taking the land away. We are now dispossessing principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness, not anymore in the heavenlies, because they've been kicked out of the heavens. But now they occupy the minds of men. It is why, maybe I should just talk a little bit here. It is why in the book of Acts, strategic people had to meet the apostles. Not just the crowds. You didn't go for the crowds. But strategic people, Simon the sorcerer, Elymas, the girl that was involved with divination. There were many people, hundreds of people going to her because she was involved with divination, and she would tell them their future and what was happening. Strategic people needed to be touched. You and I don't know who these strategic people are. Sometimes when you see them, it could be a beggar. Could be an unassuming person. It's not rich. It doesn't have a smart car. It doesn't have a diamond mine. But strategic people need to be touched, who influence whole societies. And the only way these strategic people can be touched is when the Holy Spirit leads us. And we never discount anyone. I've had situations where I could have discounted somebody when they came to me and thought, well, you know, they're not up to much. But just how influential those people became was a miracle. Because they touched many people that not even I would be able to touch. So strategy in this season is very important. Wisdom, we heard about wisdom. Yes, evangelism is shifting. First of all, the mountain of the Lord's house is established upon the highest mountain. It is the only mountain. There's no other mountain that can contend with it. But when the mountain of the Lord's house is established, the law of God will go forth from this mountain. Which is really a Zion position. Therefore, I want to encourage you, because many of you might be going through difficulties, pain, suffering right now. But you must understand that Zion is the result of prevailing. If there's no prevailing, there can't be a Zion. Because what does Zion really mean? It's a parched place that has its total dependence on God. It's a parched place. It has nothing to show. But its total dependence is on God. In your weakest hour, you are the strongest, because his strength is not just found in you, it is perfected in you. So in your weakest hour, you don't give up. That is when you understand the strength that is about to come. You see, this is the whole issue of dying to who you are so that he can live. You become the weakest, he's the strongest. You are nothing. When we say a first fruit company is reaching for kingship on the earth, and these kings, you know that in the kingdom, there are kings and there are subjects. Not everybody will be kings. And then you say, so who's God? Who God's going to choose to be kings in the kingdom? We all like to be kings. But the news is that these kings are servants to their subjects. In the New Testament, the word king means a help to the people. A help to the people. That means you've got nothing to show wearing a crown, a royal garb, or shining garments, but you're a servant to the people. Now, very quickly, just wanted to show you some things. We have to scratch where it itches. You understand me? Sometimes you scratch, it's not itching there. And you think, oh, but it's still itching, but I can't get the place. We have, and that requires wisdom, a lot of wisdom. One of the areas I've realized that parents, that the communities are struggling in is the area of depression, pain, sadness, grief, and sorrow. And people are flooding for message. And inadvertently, they end up at the wrong place. Because it depends whose hands are touching you. Did you know that the five senses are so vital in this season? The five senses have a direct, they are direct windows to the soul. And so anybody can touch you. It doesn't matter what kind of lives they lead. All you want is a message. I called a team together. I said, prepare and start planning. I know that I won't do it because that's not what I'm called to do. But you start training and get ready. Your anointed hands must touch every single person that comes so that the anointing will be transferred. Somewhere along the line, they need to be changed. I've called people last year, sent them to do courses in creche management. And I said to them, we start a creche, you teach them. And you start instructing their children in the ways of the Lord. Yeah. It's the way we're going to reach out. Yeah. Then I called another group and I said, can you see how kids are having parties and all kinds of parties with worldly wisdom? Even the children of God are running to these places because they need to have first birthdays or second birthdays or whatever. Now I'm going to train you, and I've written packages for them. And I've strategically sat and wrote out exactly what songs we will do, exactly how we target the child, how strategically we will prophesy over this child's life through a song while they're still little. I don't care who they are, but we're going to prophesy. Not the way we did it in church, but declaring over the child just how special you are and that you have a purpose on the earth, that we release that purpose. And so we're going to do this. Now, these are just some of the ways by which we're going to have to touch people who are coming to us. I said to them, we've got a conference center. And the conference center team says, what do we do if we have people coming in with their own songs? What do we do if we have people wanting to play? My son asked me the question. They want to play Black Sabbath. And he knows my stand on all these things. I said to him, can you provide a blueprint? Do you have enough wisdom? I asked him. You sat with me for all these years, 30 years of your life. I have helped you understand something. I said, can you produce something that will help people see that Black Sabbath is dangerous? Men, they are holding on to Black Sabbath because they don't know how dangerous it is. But you can't tell them it's dangerous and leave them with nothing. Have you got something to provide them with? So now, son, can you sit down and put a list of things, a list of songs or music to provide them with it? And when they come to you for advice, you say, this is why you should not actually involve this song in your marriage, because it is detrimental. And when they see that this is a stance you've taken, they say, oh, never thought of that. Can you see what I'm saying? So God is bringing us to a place where we have to address principalities and powers. Remember, the first Adam had authority on the earth over natural things. I'm convinced of that. It is why the first Adam fell. But the last Adam has authority in the heavens and on the earth. Bible says man was created a little lower than angels. I know people say it means God. Okay? But I also want to say, yes, man was created flesh, physical. And therefore the spirit dimension, which is angels, had jurisdiction over them somehow. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than even angels. What was the name? Son. So now, in sonship, in the understanding of the right-hand sons of God, we have a more excellent name than even angels. And if we have a more excellent name than angels, our jurisdiction is not only on the earth, it is also in the heavens. We address from the heavens on the earth. If I don't know that I have authority from the heavens and I try to address a demon on the earth, that demon will rattle me. This is why we've got to be careful when we move into this next realm. And we are going to make divine decrees from Mount Zion. And we're making divine decrees from this position of the kingdom. If we have not dealt sufficiently with ourselves, we'll have attacks. Major attacks. We have to be thoroughly finished with how the kingdom of God operates from within us. So now our jurisdictional authority is from the heavens on the earth. We have authority, all authority in the heavens on the earth. If we have that kind of authority, that means we can address angels. That means we can judge angels. That means we can address principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, because it is God's intent. The Bible says, Ephesians 3 and verse 10, it was God's original intent and eternal purpose for the church to manifest the wisdom of God to principalities and powers. But listen, I always saw that scripture and I would look up and address principalities and powers. What I didn't realize, and I'm beginning to realize in this season, they are solidly embedded in the minds of men and women. But if you can bring light to the minds of men and women in little issues like nursery rhymes, because these children are about to grow up and manifest the kingdom of God. In little things like when you lost a child, what do? Do you go on to antidepressants? Or how do you deal with death? All of these little things. Things like massage. Reflexology, we are touching every organ by touching your feet. Christians are flocking there as well. Psychic healing, because the church abdicated its responsibility to provide in every facet of walk, be it from the spiritual but into the natural. So I know my time is up, but I want to say that this is a major